This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is prime time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. 0-0, about the 7-minute mark of the first quarter. Miami and Ohio State will keep you updated there with the Cotton Bowl. But now joining us here, kind enough, Brandon Kravitz over there, 96.9 in Orlando, also over at RotoWire. Brandon Kravitz over on the Twitter machine as well. Brandon, thanks for the time. Do appreciate it, my man.
Happy to be here. Been a big fan of VSiN for years. Was finally able to do some shows with Nick Whalen on Prop Points over the summer. And so this is the perfect way to round out 2025 for yours truly. It's been a pinch myself kind of year in being able to partner with you guys. And so, as I mentioned before we came back, we are 10 minutes away from cracking open that bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Let's get to talking about some plays.
There we go. And like we said, we do appreciate you holding off, but again, for me and Mike, you don't have to do that ever again. So next New Year's Eve, you don't have to do that. Just go right ahead. Not going to phase us in the least. But now we are into this one a little bit, but it's still scoreless, and they hadn't really moved the ball a ton either way as Ohio State lines up to punt it back to Miami. So what were your thoughts heading into this one? What were some plays you had in the account?
So the first one that I logged was Miami plus 5.5 in the first half, parlayed with the under kicked up to 26.5 for the first half. Just mathematically, I like when the books offer a halftime spread that is more than 50% of the full game number. Not always the case, but when it is, that becomes a buying opportunity for me. I'm not worried about the first half. I'm worried about Mario Cristobal and Carson Beck blowing this late. Miami has a significant special teams advantage. I could see them using that to create an early jump. I don't think they've done that yet, to be completely transparent. I haven't been able to lock in on this game quite yet. That will come with the bottle of red that I've got waiting for me. But to parlay the total with it, one, the plus 5.5 was at minus 115. I just didn't want to pay the juice. And to me, I don't play a lot of parlays, but if you're going to correlate them to get you into plus money, no issue with it. I figure the only way Miami covers the first half number is if the two combine for less than 26.5 points. So I bought the number to get that to plus 125 for the plus 5.5 in terms of the first half spread on Miami and the under at 26.5 for the first half total. I also bet Miami plus 9.5. It was a smaller wager. I don't handicap college football, but I've seen power ratings that have the Canes as dogs of less than a touchdown. We got a close at plus 7.5. So I guess that's the side that sort of won out. I've seen them as high as plus 11. This line feels like it's exactly where it should have been in terms of where it was throughout the course of the week at the 9.5. We saw zero movement for about a week, but I just like the idea of a near double digit dog where I have the more experienced quarterback and a team that's loaded with NFL dudes, just like the team on the other side. Ohio State is going to be bet because people are looking at the NFL prospects. Miami has arguably just as many as the Buckeyes do. So some value there, the anti-momentum factor for Ohio State. I mean, think about it, for Ryan Day, how did he get by last year? It was on momentum. I don't trust him with a month to prepare. This guy isn't Kirby Smart. He's not what I assume to be Kurt Cignetti. So to me, it was Miami or nothing.
Yeah, so far, so good there. You can get Miami plus 4 in the first half if you're looking to get involved here early, 6 minutes and 50 seconds left in the first quarter. Miami with the football there. Now let's transition over to the NFL. Fascinating game. One I am excited to talk about with Matt Brown that we've not gotten to yet in our show here. Seattle Seahawks heading into San Francisco to take on the 49ers. The Seahawks, a 1.5 favorite. This is going to decide the number one seed in the NFC. This is going to decide your AFC West winner, possibly decide things like coach of the year, offensive player of the year, a bunch of different things on the line here in San Francisco this weekend. Which side do you like?
It's huge. This is essentially a playoff game when you consider what's at stake here, being able to get a week off with all of these behemoths that are in the NFC sans the NFC South. This is a huge game. Brock Purdy is as hot as any quarterback in the NFL. I feel like for the first time, perhaps in the history of the 49ers, they're the one team that nobody's really taking seriously as a Super Bowl contender right now. Look at some of the numbers that are out there for them to win the whole thing. And I feel like they're being underpriced. I've started making my own power ratings within the last couple of seasons. I have the Niners right up there with the top teams in the NFL, and they are not being treated as such in the market. Brock Purdy has 13 touchdowns in his last three games. Now, obviously, we have to monitor the Trent Williams injury. That's huge. George Kittle was a game time call on Sunday. Didn't wind up giving it a go. It looks like he's going to be back. San Francisco is initially the favorite coming in to the week. Money came in on Seattle. We saw some resistance at that +1.5. So I think this is likely the number that we settle on. Happy to be on the dog here. Give me the 49ers +1.5.
Talking to Brandon Kravitz, 96.9 in Orlando, at Brandon Kravitz over on the Twitter machine as well. Let's stick to the Saturday slate here. Carolina, Tampa Bay. This is currently 2.5 to 3 out there in favor of the Bucs at home. 44, the prevailing total. What do you see in this one?
So the 3 on this is going to be key in the toilet bowl for the South. Mm-hmm. The Bucs haven't beaten a team by more than 3 points since before Halloween. We hadn't even picked out our costumes yet. That was the last time they beat a team by more than 3. They've dropped 6 of the last 7 overall, but this is about the diff. Of their 7 wins, only 2 of them were by more than 3 points on the entire season. So that number, we know that 3 is key in the NFL. I'm not breaking any news here on the Sports Betting Network. However, I think it's even more key in this situation than in your standard situation. So if it stays at 2.5, I would tease that up to 8.5 on Carolina. Baker isn't right. Over his last 6 games, he has 7 touchdowns, 6 picks, a sub 75 passer rating. And it's not like the defense is holding up either. They haven't been very good all year. Bottom 10 in points, bottom 10 in yards allowed. The running game has been inconsistent. Special teams isn't anything spectacular. So to me, it's either if the number's at 3, bet the Panthers. If it's at 2.5, tease the Panthers with someone else. I think the Lions getting them up to 8.5 is an interesting look, or the Bengals teasing them down to 1.5 are good tease partners with Carolina if 2.5 is all that's available for you.
Let's stay down there in the state of Florida. We've got the Tennessee Titans heading in to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game that means a lot for Jacksonville. And a team in Tennessee that at least is trying hard. We're still seeing them put forth an effort every time they step onto the field. Right now, 12.5 toward Jacksonville as your favorite. Total sitting at 47.5 here. Who do you like here in this Titans-Jaguars battle?
So I hand up, hate when people do this, but I'll do it anyway. I got the Jags at 11.5 earlier in the week. I think at 12.5, it's a no play. It was more of a market read than anything else. And just reading some tea leaves on where this thing might go. I think this is going to get up to 13. So if you just have to bet the Jags, I guess, but perhaps wait for this to settle back down. I saw some 12s in the market. At least you get the push if it lands on that number. You'll have some pretty sweet CLV come Sunday afternoon if you do end up on 11.5, because I am pretty confident this is going to close at 13. But Liam Cohen is gunning for that one seed, as unlikely as it is. They have a 5% chance. This is a new coaching staff, a young team. They can't afford to lose grip of momentum because they might never get it back. I mean, you're dealing with Trevor Lawrence here. We just started to buy stock on this guy. These up and coming teams only know one speed. It's full go. And it's like that in every sport that we follow. So I don't worry about them taking Tennessee lightly. The Titans might get a little squirrely in this one. I don't know how much this impacts the spread, but just thinking about all the different machinations of what we could see this weekend, they still have a chance, guys, of dropping out of the top 5 in the NFL draft. I have no idea how much they're factoring that into their approach. They have an 80% chance to land top 5. And why in the world would you do anything to screw that up? So, I mean, obviously, we're talking about a big gap between them winning the game and them covering the number. But something to keep in mind, I would not buy this at 12.5. But if it settles at 12, it's an absolute buy on Jacksonville.
New Orleans is on the road at Atlanta, who actually can mess things up if they want to here in week number 18. Didn't really see this one coming from the Falcons. 45, the prevailing total there. But you think the Saints can keep this thing within a field goal?
Yeah, I do like this bet individually, but I am layered in bias here. So again, we'll offer up some transparency for you. My biggest preseason bet was on the Saints team total under 6.5. I bet it the day that Derek Carr announced his retirement in May. I am greedy. I want both sides of this bet to hit. So ideal scenario for yours truly. Falcons win by 1. Falcons win by 2. Hell, let's get a tie. I don't care. But the Falcons are off of a fluke win on Monday Night Football. The Rams had about 5 opportunities to win that game in regulation. And it's just a natural letdown spot that you would bet the Saints at any other week in the season off of this. A team off of a big win that was kind of fluky on a short week going up against a divisional foe who happens to be red hot right now that's catching 3 points. I mean, they have something clearly in Tyler Shuck, but it's not just that. They're allowing opponents to 17 points per game over this 4-game winning streak. Since they got blown out in week 9, they have one of the top 5 defenses in the NFL. To me, it is at an absolute Saints play, and I really hope that we can hit this sweet, sweet middle here as far as my season-long bet goes.
Speaking of sweet, sweet, why don't you go ahead and let the sweet, sweet taste of that red wine hit your lips, buddy. Brandon Kravitz, 96.9 Orlando, at Brandon Kravitz over there on the Twitter machine. Find his work at RotoWire as well. Thanks for making the time, buddy, and enjoy the vino.
Happy New Year to all of you and to those watching and listening. You guys are fantastic at what you do. Best of luck tonight.
We are 0-0 heading into zeros on the clock in the first quarter here, Mike Somich. That said, Miami winning this game everywhere except on the scoreboard. We shall you know how this first quarter ended up, and we're going to get in to tease or not to tease. What are we going to do in week 18?
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
To tease or not to tease? Every bettor faces the question. Shift the spread for safety or take the risk head on? Matt and Mike decide in to tease or not to tease.
Ah, yes, the teaser. You get to move the line. You get to move it 6 points. You can move 6.5. You can move 7, actually. With the way that these books do it now, they give you a little slider. You can move it however many damn points you want to move it. But we're going to sit here and talk about 6. And then I'll bring up something we rarely talk about. But this week is unique in the amount of gigantic favorites that there are out there as Miami completes a pass to get inside the 10-yard line. So we'll see if they can get some points on the board. Scoreless first quarter there in Miami and Ohio State. The Panthers starting things off on Saturday, Mike Somich, are 2.5-point dogs widely. There is a couple of threes, but it's pretty much 2.5 everywhere. So it would be taking them up to 7.5, 8.5, however you want to go. If you want to ask for 5, ask for 6 from the books. What say you here in that one?
I like the Panthers plus 3. So I think this is a good teaser leg. If you can't get access to Panthers plus 3, I like taking the Panthers up to 8.5 here in this spot, Matt. I just can't with the Bucks. I just can't. I'm over it. I don't know what else to say. This is a mess of a Bucks offense right now. Baker Mayfield doesn't look like himself. And as much as I don't like the Panthers offense, the Panthers defense is probably the best unit of the four on the field this weekend, which is crazy to say with that Bucks offense.
They are into the end zone. 9-yard touchdown reception, Mark Fletcher Jr. So Miami on the board first here in this one, a 13-play, 83-yard, 8-minute, 5-second scoring drive out of Miami. Like Let's we said, go. Like we said,
grind that clock.
They don't play fast. And so there we go. We're already down to 13-31 in the second quarter in this game. So extra point pending to see if we can get this thing to 7-0. The kick is up and it is good. So there we go. 7-0 Miami at the 13:31 mark in the second quarter. The Niners are 1.5 point dogs to the Seahawks. You could take them up to 7.5.
No, thank you, Matt. Mm-hmm. This is, and I'd like, again, cannot wait to talk about this game with you. I have no interest in the 49ers.
Yeah, I would not play this one either in a teaser because kind of like what we said last week about the Bengals, I weirdly think despite it being a completely different scenario and a completely different team, it also applies here to the Niners, which is I think there is a curve in which they win this game outright, and I also think there is a curve in which Seattle wins by 13
margin,
like 16, 17, something in there as well. And so not the type of teaser for me to play, but what about the Vikings taking them down? Wait, is that number still 7.5 or have we, with the news, is that gone? Do we still get, okay. It's the 7.5s are gone. It's 7 now. Whatever. It's fine. 7 then Vikings. We'll just say 7 against the Packers.
I know. And this is not because I don't like it. Yeah, you could tease it if you want. I don't want any part of this. I don't want any part of teasing down the Vikings to 1.5 where, or even 1 where Max Brosmer has to win a game for me. Yes, the Vikings defense is the best unit. Yes, the Packers are resting a bunch of people. I can't get to 7 as is. So it would be Packers or pass in the game for me. So it is hard for me to then come back and say, well, I want to try and thread that needle and use the Vikings as a teaser leg.
The deal is the only way that I would do this, and here's the deal, you wouldn't be able to, it wouldn't be in teaser range anyway, is if they miraculously decide that McCarthy is going to play in this one, because they haven't officially said.
That changes it,
They hadn't officially said that he's going to play. I mean, that he's not going to play. We're just assuming that it's Brosmer. I'm still assuming that it's Brosmer, but they have not told us one way or the other. And so, like I said, it's kind of a moot point because if McCarthy plays, this thing's not 7.5, you know, so, but it's out to 9 probably, you know, 9.5.
We always talk about teasers as a way to reduce variance. Doesn't this game just scream variance?
Yeah.
Like a mess of a Vikings team against the backup of the Packers team, which has been kind of stumbling down the stretch. I don't want to pay extra juice in a game that I think has crazy variance involved.
Cincinnati 7.5 against the Browns. This one I would play for. If you were looking for a partner with the Panthers, I absolutely love this one. The Browns, all their good players are hurt. They're probably not going to play them at this point. It doesn't make any sense to play them at this point. The only person that's going to play is Myles Garrett, who's going to be going for the sack record. But I mean, outside of that, everybody else is banged up. It feels like you got the best effort out of the Browns the last couple of weeks and it still wasn't good enough. And it seems like, Mike, for whatever reason, Cincinnati is like trying to prove a point to end the season. It's like they want to like, see, we told you we were good. We just weren't for a while and all of this. So I would definitely play them at 1.5 for sure.
I'm fine with the Bengals as a teaser here. This is an offense that's looked like the offense we expected when Joe Burrow was healthy, and shockingly, Joe Burrow's healthy. And this offense is able to move the football against anybody. It's a defense in the Browns that has been worse than I think we all expected, specifically against the run the last month or so. Even Pittsburgh last week was able to run the football. Additionally, the Browns won last week. Are they going to win 2 in a row? Are we not going to see them come off that high? And then you mentioned the injuries that have kind of piled up over there in Cleveland as well. I think all that comes to a head here. I do like the Bengals as a teaser like here, if you'd like to go that direction.
This one seems like buyer beware. The Bills 7 against the Jets. Mike, they will not commit to Josh Allen playing or how much he's going to play or how long he's going to play or how many of the starters are going to play and how long they're going to play and all of that. My guess is what we're going to get is basically the worst case scenario if you do buy in on a teaser here, which is they play like 2 series and then they're done and then you don't get what you paid for.
Yeah, look, this is, we talked about not wanting variance games in teasers. This is a variance game because we don't know what we're going to get from Buffalo from beginning to end. We don't know what level of effort. We don't know who is going to be at quarterback. We don't know who else is going to be out there. Again, not a game I'm looking to pay extra juice in.
What about the Rams at 7.5 against the Cardinals?
This is closer.
Yeah.
But still, like, what the Rams, they got a little bit to play for, but not a ton against the Cardinals team that feels like they're at least frisky on the offensive side. We've seen McVay completely punt these games in the past. The thing here is the backups for these teams very much could be significantly better than the starters for the bad team. I'm not saying that's not correct, that the spread isn't correct. I'm saying the variance is higher when you're bringing those backups into play because we don't actually have accurate grades on them. Mm-hmm. We don't have the same consistency from them. It's why they are backups. And so it's hard for me to get excited about teasing those backups because I just don't have the same level of confidence that I do have in these starters that we're seeing from the other side.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, Devonta Adams isn't going to play. Why Blake Corum got banged up this past week? I mean, you can't imagine he's going to play. This seems like, oh my goodness, a red screen from Jump Street after a massive shot play downfield for Ohio State. And I mean, Reddit from the absolute snap, a pick six for Miami. It is 13-0 at the 11:49 mark, extra point pending. It was like the dude knew what play. It's like he absolutely knew out of the huddle what play they were running.
That was just a fascinating sequence here because Miami scores after a long, drawn-out 0-0 move. You get the shot play on first down from Ohio State when you're like, okay, Ohio State woke up. They're going to get themselves back in this football game. And I look down, I look back up, and there is a hurricane running the other direction with the football. Like you said, just absolutely read the wide receiver screen and was able to get there before anybody else from Ohio State takes it back for six. And
up and good.
Miami 14-0. Getting a little revenge for 2001 here.
Woo, up and good. 14-0 in a blink. I mean, he must have seen something on – because he didn't even go to cover the receiver. Like, he must have seen something on film. Like, they must have run this play on film.
The tight end and the way the tight end acted must have been the tell.
Yeah.
Because you had a tight end in motion who comes across, takes one step forward into a pattern, then backs off it. And right after he takes the step, that's when the cornerback breaks out into where the lane between the quarterback.
He left his receiver. He knew what was coming. Yeah, like, he knew what was happening. He left his dude. He was like, yeah, I'm gone. Like into the house he went. Wow. You do not see a play get blown up like that very often. I mean, again, it was literally like he knew exactly what was coming.
That is like when you're playing Madden against your buddy.
Yeah.
And you have the three plays on the bottom, but you know he only runs one of those three offensive plays.
Yeah.
You know exactly what he's doing. That's what that looked like. You're like, oh, no. I know which one you're going to run here.
That was something else. 14-0 Miami. There against Ohio State. Guys, Sharp Play has been around since 2011. Documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. Go in, all the sports, NFL, NBA, MLB, and college hoops, and they'll send it straight to your inbox or to your X feed, sharpplays.com. Stay ahead of the line. Visit sharpplays.com. When we come back, real quick on those 10-point teaser ideas, and then we'll get into our Week 18 power rankings. Don't go anywhere. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Primetime here on VSiN. 14-0 Miami over Ohio State as we get a long scoring drive that took over 8 minutes to get it to 7-0. And then on the very next possession, Ohio State throws a pick six. And then Miami is getting a big sack here to create a third and long against Ohio State as they try to battle back in this game. Mike, you said that this is the biggest deficit that they have faced all season long. And now they are looking at a third and forever, third and 23 as they throw a screen pass that, went for about 13, but that's not going to get it there. So they're going to have fourth and 10. They're going to be punting it back. Ohio State allowed three sacks already in this game.
Yeah, Miami defensive line has showed up in a big way. And that the last sack there where we saw saying, get out of the first grasp, Get out of the second grasp. There's a third guy right there ready to tackle him. It's been a Miami defensive line that has dominated this early part of the game. The one big time Ohio State moved the football, shot play down the field to Smith, but that Miami defense able to then intercept the next pass and take that back to the house. So very good showing from the University of Miami right now here in the semifinals of the playoff or the quarterfinals of the playoffs. They received the ball at their own 10-yard line here, up 14-0 already.
Yeah, this is just, I mean, it is
as good as you could hope for.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't want to use the word, I don't want to use the word domination, but through 20 minutes, I mean, this is about as one way as a game of this magnitude could be.
Yeah. I mean, you look at just the box score here, right? Beck has 67 yards passing. Miami has 61 yards rushing. Sayan has 94 yards passing, but 60 of those came on one play. They have -8 yards net rushing because of the sacks. There's already been 3 sacks here in this spot. 8 turnovers or 8 first downs to 4. 0 third down first downs for Ohio State. The yards per play is heavily in Miami's favor. I mean, this has just been a Miami offense that's moved the football better on every drive. This has been a Miami defense that has been able to cause havoc at the offensive line for Ohio State in every single drive. It's just been a better Hurricanes football team right now than Buckeyes.
So, Mike, we don't bring this up. Actually, we've done this for 17 consecutive weeks. We haven't brought this up. But you can do a 3-team 10-point teaser that is -120, which is the same as a 2-team 6-point teaser, which is at -120. The only reason I bring it up, because we do have 5 different options this week where we rarely have 5 options that you would ever consider something like this on. So we have the Texans at 10.5 point favorites against the Colts. The Jags are 12.5 against the Titans. The Patriots are 10.5 against the Dolphins. The Raiders are 5.5 against the Chiefs. So you could take them up through 2 touchdowns, up to 15.5. And then you have the Broncos at 12.5 against the Chargers. So 4 favorites and 1 dog, where the kind of the 10-point teaser sort of works if you wanted to go that direction. Again, you have to use 3 legs to do the 10-point teaser. But I will say, I really like the Jags. I really like the Broncos. So you really only need kind of that third leg for that. I don't know what you think about it. I mean, like, I really like those 2 legs. It's just the third leg that I'm trying to get to.
See, I really like the Patriots.
Well, then there you go. There's the third leg.
I really like the Broncos. And then to me, you pick between the Texans or Jags as a third leg. But it would be Patriots, Broncos, and then either Texans or Jags for me.
Yeah, I can't.
Maybe we should just put a show one in here.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we'll do one for some content. We'll decide on because the Jags can't mess around, right? I mean, like, they've got to.
No, they can't.
They can't mess around because they're in the early window. So they gotta win. So
as do the Broncos.
Yeah.
So do the Patriots.
Yeah. Okay. So there it is. There we go. There's our three team 10-point teaser. We'll go Jags, Pats, and Broncos. I'll throw it in the account on the break, and then we'll be able to sweat it. You know, that'll be fun to do.
Love it. Let's do it.
Okay. So our power ratings here for week number 18 and our final set of power ratings on the season, because there's no reason for us to power rate once we get to the playoffs, because we're just going to be in a very, very small sample size with all of that. But Mike, we are simpatico for the first time ever on 4 of the 5 in the exact slots. The only thing that changes is our number 4 slot. We have Rams, Seahawks, Eagles as 1, 2, and 3, and we both have the Texans in 5. The only difference, you have Bills in 4, I have Jags in 4, but look at us, 4 out of the top 5, all simpatico, and honestly, I think you're probably... I don't want to say doing it wrong, because everyone has a different process and all this, but like, I think those top 3 is kind of where we're at right now in the NFL. And I get it. They're all in the NFC and you're going to be, oh, use some sort of bias. No, it's just, I think at this point in the season, if you factor in injuries and you factor in complete teams and defense and offense and all that, I think those are the 3 best teams right now.
The crazy part to me here is you have two AFC South teams in your top five when I don't think we would have thought two AFC South teams were making the playoffs at the start of the season. Look, our power rankings or ratings, they should be similar during week eight. You should have a good idea. There shouldn't be as many outliers. When you get this deep into the season, you should have a much better idea of who the best teams are. I think if the Rams aren't number one in anyone's power ratings, they're doing something wrong. You could make an argument that, you know, the Seahawks, the Eagles, the Bills, the Texans, the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Patriots, even in some people's eyes, could all be up there. But if the Rams aren't one, I would question what
Mike,
we're doing here.
So here's somebody driving around or watching us right now, and they're going like, dude, didn't you watch them lose? Or if you watch the game, and I'm not blaming the refs. Refs have a very tough job and all this other thing. There were three very significant calls that went against the Rams that, if you, again, I listened to Dean Blandino's, like, he does a hit on talk radio on Mondays. I listened to a couple other refs that do whatever, who were all like, look, it's a tough job. All three of those were bad calls. They all went against the Rams. They were all, unfortunately, in very clutch spots and whatever, specifically at the very end of the game where there was a blatant pass interference, which would have put the ball at the 10-yard line. Now, that's not to say they would have scored a touchdown, but it's chip shot field goal range to at least get the thing to overtime and all of that and whatever. So I'm not dismissing the loss. I just will say it was very unfortunate for them.
I will dismiss it. It's one game.
Yeah.
You have 16 other data points that you can look at this point, right? Like, it's literally one game that you can look at it and you can say, look, okay, they lost that game. Let's say that none of the ref stuff happened, that no breaks went against them. It's okay. You still have all this other, like, all these other data points that say this is the best team we have in football right now. So you can say that they lost, dead set loss to the Falcons, and still have them sitting there at number one. To me, the AFC is much more interesting. I think the NFC really comes down to two, maybe three teams that can get out of it. It's the Rams and the Eagles at top, and then the Seahawks. The Seahawks are sitting at number two in my power ratings because I have them at number two from a regular season perspective. When we get to the playoffs, I'm going to make an adjustment, specifically because of who their quarterback is. I think the AFC is wild. I think five teams could win the AFC, and I would not be surprised. I think it's just much more. You're going to get coin flip after coin flip over in the AFC, much more wide open. I will take the best player and give that the advantage here, and that simply is Josh Allen is the best player in the AFC. He is the best quarterback who's going to be in the tournament in the AFC. To me, he is the differentiator when you're looking at, a stellar defense in the Texans and the Broncos, or a Bills team that has that one man that can put the cape on. The offense matters more. I'll take the guy with the cape, and that's why I have the Bills sitting at four.
The only reason I went Jags instead of Bills is Josh Allen is nicked up, and I do worry about that offense if they can't run the ball effectively, mainly because they have no receivers. Like, by the way, Bills, go get this guy a receiver in the offseason, for the love of God. Like, go get this guy a receiver. I mean, overpay, do whatever you got to do. Like, go get this guy a receiver. You're wasting the best quarterback in probably the best quarterback in football right now. Just the foot injury, and then the fact that they don't have they don't even have like a real number two, much less a number one. So that's just my only concern there with them. But your point is very well taken, which is it's still Josh Allen. So, I mean, like, yes, I get that.
It's still Josh Allen.
Yeah. I assume Jags were six for you.
Yes, Jags were six. Yeah. Broncos were seven.
Yeah.
I think there are a plethora of AFC teams that I think are legitimate football teams. There's a clear gap with those three NFC teams. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was Bills six for me, and then Broncos seven. So yeah, it's like, so we're pretty much, it's just a little bit of shuffling.
We should be
with all that. Yeah,
you should be at this point of the season. Like, you should, it shouldn't be wildly different.
Guys, when you spend $129 over at Omaha Steaks, we're going to give you 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and 50% off site-wide. So head on over to omahasteaks.com/VSIN right now. Spend $129 and get 2 pounds of wings absolutely free. Of course, we'll give you 50% off site-wide as well. omahasteaks.com/VSIN, omahasteaks.com/VSIN.
Thank you.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
14-0 Miami over Ohio State. Ohio State punts back to Miami from their own end zone. So we will get a minimal return, but they will start at the 42-yard line. Up 14-0, 5:02 in the second quarter remains, and little to no, there was one shot play from Ohio State, yep. Mike, and outside of that, little to no offense from the Buckeyes.
Yeah, total yards right now, 148 for Miami, 87 for Ohio State, 59 of the 87 came on one play. Mm-hmm. So you take that out of there, you're looking at just a dominant performance here from Miami so far. 9 first downs, just 4 for Ohio State. Ohio State 0 for 4 on third down. Already 3 sacks, 1 turnover. I mean, this is the Ohio State offense looks lost right now, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, this, again, I didn't want to use the term like domination, but I mean, they're dominant. They're bully balling. I mean, that defensive line is bullying Ohio State right now.
Oh, we talked about it multiple times with Miami and with Texas Tech. They're going to win the line of scrimmage. And right now, Miami is winning both sides of the line of scrimmage. And this is one of, if not the best defensive line in college football for Ohio State. The expectation here was Miami could basically try and tread water with them and not lose that battle. Well, right now, Miami's offensive line winning the battle. And right now, their defensive line dominating Ohio State's offensive line. And when you win the trenches on both sides, it makes it very difficult for the other team to be successful.
Guys, if you've been with us all season long, we have been talking about these awesome contests that are here at Circa, the world's largest legal sports betting contest in Circa Survivor. Of course, Circa Millions will also be wrapping up this week here. Everyone will be lined up. If you're going to be in town right under here, everyone will be lined up. It's an awesome atmosphere. It's an awesome scene. And just as a reminder, I know we talk a ton about Survivor, and we should talk a ton about Survivor, but Mike, you know, in Millions, first place, by the way, is $1 million. And then, I don't think people realize too, second place, 500K, third, 400K, fourth, 350, fifth, 300, sixth is 250, seventh is 200, eighth is 150, and ninth is 100K. So, I mean, first through ninth are all getting at least six figures in this contest. I mean, 10th is 90K, and then it just kind of ladders down from there. So there's going to be lots of people playing for five figures plus this week in week 18. So it is no shabby contest. It is no small contest with Millions. And you and I have talked about the strategy, and now we really are. It's going to be super interesting. What does CoinHop do, who is currently one game up, 58-26-1, compared to Bison Sports Cards, who is 57-27-1? Mike, do they play defense? Do they try to play what they think the most popular plays are going to be? Do they go and just say, hey, we've picked winners this far, we're just going to pick the games we want to play, I don't care? What is the strategy going to be for some of these people who are sitting there in 7th, 8th, 9th? They might be happy making the 200K. Lord knows I would, but there's probably some of these people who are really good contest players who are, like we said, going to make sure they play games with hooks so they can't get like pushes, so there's no chance of them getting a half point. Maybe some of them literally go in and try to play the oppo strategy of what they think the popular picks are going to be to try to climb the leaderboard, because they're not satisfied with the 90K in 10th place. They want the 300K. They want the 400K, whatever it might be. And so I'm actually really, really, really interested to see the strategy amongst these people kind of in the top 10, 12 as we head into week 18.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating because we have four right at the top that are all within two games of each other. They clearly all have the prize, the eyes on that top prize, right? And so then the defense versus offense, how do you try and handle that? You've got another four entries that are sitting there with 55 points, 54 and a half, 55 points that are right behind. Then you have another set of people sitting there at 54 and a half points that are tied for ninth right now, all still within striking range, but very much have to decide their specific strategy. You mentioned it. Do you try and take the 200K down, or do you try and go 5-0 and sun run this thing by taking opposite sides and take your shot at the million? That's going to be one of those decisions, as well as when do you play games? Because now that we're in the last week, having the last game matters, right? Because you know exactly how much that game is worth to you. If you need to win it, if it doesn't make a difference to you, you have all of the information. And Circa, we always talk about the credit line on Circa Survivor. they allow credit lines of around circa millions as well.
Yep.
So you can get big lines and make big bets at circa on the opposite side of some of these numbers, which hopefully you have better of the numbers so you can even middle your own number and still win in the contest. So a lot of things going on here headed to week number 18.
Yeah, there's eight late window slash Sunday night games. And Mike, like I said, like you just mentioned, I bet you we see a strategy from somebody where all five of their picks are going to be in that late window. And there'll be some, and there'll be some who are, you know, who, like we said, I've done well this year by picking the games I like. I'm just picking the games I like. I don't care. Like, whatever. I'm not going to sit here and change my strategy in week 18 of all things after I've gotten this far doing this. So it's going to be awesome for us to break that down come Sunday. The other thing that's going to be awesome is we entered 17B with 9. Mike, we left with 6. The Bucks let 3 entries down. And so 6 entries will battle it out for the $18.7 million. We started with over 18,000 entries. We're down to 6. Each entry worth over $3 million right now. And we talked about this a little bit on Sunday, but we'll go ahead and continue to talk about this now. Real Bro, one of the entries, is the only one who has the Jags. Has to be feeling maybe the best of anybody right now. It is the biggest favorite on the board. Every motivation to win. And you're on an island with the best, probably the best team in the best situation this week with the Jags going up against the Titans and the Jags still with everything to play for. So Real Bro, it doesn't really even matter what other entries he has available. He is playing the Jags this week.
Yes, he is playing the Jags. So that's our first island. And when I look at the availability, I'm like, okay, where are the other islands? Well, Guerrier has an island on New England.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and assume Guerrier is going to play New England.
I'm pretty sure we know exactly 2 entries. Like, we know for sure that Real Bro and Guerrier are going to take their islands on double-digit favorites. Like, they're going to do that.
I would assume Kick Your Knees Up takes his island with Philadelphia, who is a 7-point favorite, which also means that
Philadelphia is down to a 3.5-point favorite because they are resting all of their starters. I'm guessing Kick Your Knees Up pivots to Cincinnati is my guess.
And see, I would say if he was on Philly, then Part Z hits a single on Cincinnati, and all of a sudden we have 4 singles with 2 people left.
And Kick Your Knees Up, a she, I might add. So that is a she for Kick Your Knees Up there in that one. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be Eagles for sure on the island, and I'm guessing you got to change the strategy now with the whole sitting the starters deal. I'm guessing you move to Cincinnati.
Yeah, and you look at these other teams that are available. Like, does anyone want to use Minnesota and try and put themselves on an island with Minnesota? As it looks like Juicy K could make that decision.
Well, Juicy K and Kick Your Knees Up have Minnesota, so they both could go there.
Right. Well, if we assume Kick Your Knees Up is going Cincinnati, that's what I would expect Cincinnati to be selected over Minnesota, right?
Yes.
So which that, is, I'm trying to.
Yeah, which is why I think like Parts only has Bengals and Bucks as far as like favorites. So Parts is going Bengals. Yeah, like Parts is going Bengals.
Yeah. And so then I guess if you're Kick Your Knees Up, do you want to split or do you want to try and find your island, right?
But so
it's fascinating to me because there's a world where we have 6 islands if people really get aggressive here in week 18.
So Kick Your Knees Up is the entry that went Giants last week, by the way, everybody. So Mike, she does have the Bears, and that is an island. Yep. And if you believe, which you probably don't, and I don't know if I do either, because Dan Campbell probably would flip a middle finger to the organization if they told him, hey, let's maybe not win this, but you could get a 4th place schedule if you lose this game, if you are Detroit. And Mike, this team returning with all of that firepower on offense and a healthy Aiden Hutchinson all year long, and then you probably just bolster the defense in the offseason or whatever, like a 4th place, they would be this year San Francisco, like next year. Like, I mean, you would have a powerhouse team with a 4th place schedule that, like, I mean, so... again, Dan Campbell doesn't seem like they would probably tell him that, and he'd be like, yeah, right, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
it's in his best interest. I mean, you know, so I don't know. So again, Kick Your Knees Up could go Bears as the only one that has the Bears available.
Yeah, and she's also capable of throwing in a curveball.
Yeah.
Taking Tampa, right? Taking a team that you don't necessarily expect, because we saw her do that last week.
I'll tell you where we're...
That isn't out of the question as well. And I think she wants an island based on last week's pick.
I'll tell you where the big one is Dylan has a rough entry, and that's going to be where that's going to be the interesting one for us. Has the Bucks, which is a favorite, has the Falcons, which is a favorite, but I mean, that's about it. Like that's about it for Dylan. So I guess one of those two. I mean,
it's tough.
It's going to be tough, and it is going to be fascinating. I cannot wait to see how this all plays out.